The 11th chapter of Hebrews is a profound reminder about the long lineage of faith that we have. All these people have come before us. Hebrews 11 actually begins with creation, with God speaking creation into being out of things that did not even exist. And then there comes the naming of names. Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, who brought sacrifice to God and who was then killed by his brother Cain. And then Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah, and it's a long list, going all the way to the writer of this letter to the Hebrews, and by implication, including us. So have you read Hebrews 11 recently? If you haven't, I want to encourage you to do so. And to read it slowly, to take time with it. And to go back, when you come to these names whose story you may not know, to look them up in Scripture and to remember their story, or to read it for the first time. And to remember that there is a story of real, live faithfulness to God going on. But there's also, behind each name listed, there is also other real-life history too. Things ordinary people face, like doubt and like anger and points of turning away and times of utter faithlessness and damaging sins. All that is behind each of these names too. It's a good practice to read through these stories, to go back and to imagine their real lives in this whole mix of faith and doubt and bold trust and anxious fears, and to remember that we are tied to them by faith, and they are tied to us. This is part of our lineage, ordinary people. So we won't take time to read all of Hebrews 11 this morning. I'll just read the beginning and the end. So 11, 1 through 3 first. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that was what was seen was not made out of what is visible. And then we come to the long story of faith. And then the chapter ends like this, 39 and 40. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I remember the former president of our denomination, Gary Walter, giving kind of a quiz while preaching one time. And he listed some amazing achievements by people and asked if we could remember their names. And there were questions like this. Who received last year's Pulitzer Prize Award for fiction? Who was last year's Nobel Peace Prize winner for literature? Or who was the 2018 Winter Olympic gold medal winner for downhill racing? Now, when Gary Walter did this, there were some people, and he asked 6 or 8 questions like this. There were some people who put their hand up and they got it. They remembered. But most of us, like me, we were just stumped. Like, I don't remember. Now, these are really amazing achievements, aren't they? Pulitzer Prize, Nobel Peace Prize, a gold medal in the Olympics. These are things people don't just stumble into. The recipients of these awards are phenomenally gifted. They have focused their whole lives on doing this and letting so many other things go, and now they are at the top of their game, and they've won, and they've been awarded. Now, if any of you were to receive an award like this, we would be over the moon with excitement. We'd say things like, "Did you know Lilas got the Nobel Peace Prize?" We would brag to our neighbors and friends, would probably come and get your autograph. But thinking back to those questions, like who won such and such, despite worldwide acclaim and major media attention at the time, most of us don't remember their names at all. Not a bit. And because I know that some of you will ask me after worship, so who were those names? Here they are, of the questions I asked. 2019's Pulitzer Prize winner for fiction was Richard Powers for a book called The Overstay. 2019 Nobel Prize for Literature went to an Austrian novelist, Peter Henke. And the 2018 downhill racers who downhill skiers who won gold medals were Sofia Gaugia from Italy and Axel Svindal from Norway. Lindsey Vonn got a bronze. Well, after affirming the fact that most of us don't remember these award-winning names, Gary Walter then asked us to think back through our own lives. I'd like you to do that too. Who's had the most shaping influence on your life of faith? Think of names. Pull up faces. How about people outside your family? A Sunday school teacher, a counselor at school, a coworker, a friend? Who comes to mind? Who have been your role models? Who in your life has most resembled Christ? And maybe there's a bunch of people. More than likely, these names come to mind fluidly, without even giving it a whole great deal of thought. Those other achievements are really remarkable, aren't they? Gold medal, Pulitzer Prize. But the most influential people in our lives are typically not these global prize winners. They may be inspirations to us, but they don't necessarily have direct influence. Instead, the people who have the greatest impact on our lives are ordinary people, people who shop at Cub, and who shovel the driveway, and who show up for worship. And in the midst of all that ordinary stuff, they're living testimonies to the faithfulness of God and the presence of Christ. Ordinary people like us. So who's that to you? Who's on your list? And I'd encourage you, maybe write down some of these names. And then maybe follow up with a note or a call. The people named in Hebrews 11 were ordinary people who God used in extraordinary ways. They were ordinary people who were called to be part of these opening words from Hebrews 11. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Or as it reads in the message, faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Or in yet another version, the Cotton Patch version, faith is the turning of dreams into deeds. It's betting your life on unseen realities. Betting their lives on unseen realities is what the people of Hebrews 11 did, as countless others have done. And some of those unseen realities seemed like total impossibilities, things that seemed crazy from an ordinary point of view. Think back to some of the stories in the Bible, like the well-known stories. Imagine Sarah talking with Abraham, saying, "Did those three men really say that I'm going to have a baby within a year? I'm old. I've never been able to have babies. I can't have babies, no matter what God says." And then she did. And she named him Isaac, which means he laughs, which is what she did when she heard this news. Or picture the people talking with Moses. "What's that, Moses? You said God talked to you in a bush? And this bush is on fire, but it didn't burn up. And God said you're going to free this entire nation from slavery? How is that going to happen?" And eventually it did. It's a long story, but God used Moses in this way. Or later, as they were escaping from Pharaoh, leaving Egypt, imagine the people saying, "Moses, you want us to do what? To walk into the Red Sea as if the waters are somehow going to part for us?" And then they did. Or even later, imagine the people looking at that walled city of Jericho that had been there for so long. When Joshua told them they were going to take the city. Imagine them saying, "You want us to trust that walking around this city seven times and then blowing trumpets that like the walls are going to fall down?" than they did. The Bible is filled with stories of God promising to provide when no provision seemed possible at all. The Bible is filled with stories of God promising that there's a way when no possible way could be seen. The Bible is filled with stories of people saying, of God saying to people, "Trust me, follow me, be still and know that I am God and that you are not." The Bible is also filled with ordinary people like us whose instincts and problem solving say, "No way can God help in this one." And then God does. God did. That's our history. That's our lineage of faith. God still does provide in those places when provision seems impossible. And open ways when the way seems to be no way. Moving the lives of ordinary people just like us who live by being sure of what's hoped for and convicted of things that aren't seen. Of course, God does not always provide in the ways we understand or the ways we hope and pray God would. A lot of us have been there before, having that door close. Praying about something urgent, but it doesn't change. Praying for a loved one who then dies. Praying for a brighter outcome than what ends up being the case, and we can end up wondering and doubting about God's provision, God's goodness and love. And I don't have an answer for that. Only God does. But I do know, like many of you know, that God remains faithful. God remains faithful. And I do know, like many of you know, that God is involved in the ordinary stuff of life. And I do know, like many of you know, that God continues to call us forward in trust and faith, by faith, in times of high tension drama and in all the regular mundane stuff of life. And it's in that whole spectrum of life, from the beautiful to the awful, that faith plays out, just as it did with these people, these ordinary people named in Hebrews 11. Of course, they are remembered and they are recorded in Scripture because of the incredible things God did in them and around them. Stunning, impossible things. But as incredible as those things were, imagine the Red Sea parting or water bursting out of solid rock. As incredible as those were, the most incredible thing was yet to happen. God would come in human form and die, and be raised to life. The end of Hebrews 11 reads, it points ahead to Jesus. Referring back to all those people just named, we read this. "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what was promised. God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect." There's a lot that can be unpacked here. But here's the point. The promise that was not yet received, and that thing that was something better than what God had planned together with us, is Jesus. It's Jesus. The Son of God becoming a person and finding his home where? Among ordinary folks. Fishermen, tax collectors, the chronically ill, the kicked aside, the poor, the impoverished. That's what was promised. That's where he went. And so was this, that new life and hope-filled life, that this comes not through awards and achievements as great as those can be. It comes only as a gift to be received. New life and hope-filled life comes only through humbly yielding our lives over to Jesus Christ, laying down our sins, our pride, our self-sufficiency, and saying, "I need you. I need your help. I need your grace." That's the something better that was coming. Well, I've been thinking lately about a friend named Michael. Michael's the finest guitarist I've ever met, all blues and early folk music. We have about 10 of his CDs at home. But as accomplished of a guitarist as he is, Michael's real passion, his life calling, is teaching history at a local middle school. It's a kind of beat-up, lower-income, not very well-funded school, the last time he and I talked. Remember him telling me about all the crazy stuff that goes on for him in his classroom and the never-ending challenges to find funding, to find basic supplies, the struggle of making history come alive for kids who seem like they don't even want to be there. So much of what he does is going against the odds. In the midst of all kinds of ordinary stuff that we know about. But he loves it, and he seems to be really good and gifted at this. He told me that he'd had other opportunities, much higher paying positions at private Christian schools in the area, but he didn't go for those. And I asked him why not. So he told me his story. He told me about a middle school teacher he had. And this teacher really got to know his students and his families, came alongside of them and came to understand the trials that they faced, like just scraping by and food scarcity and single parent homes and the list that you who are teachers, you know about this. And for you who are teachers, thank you for what you do. It is such a crucial role. Michael told me that his teacher, this middle school teacher, was also a follower of Christ. This teacher didn't lead with that, but Michael came to find that out. And this teacher made such a deep impression on Michael that he said that as a 13, 14-year-old student who was extremely gifted in music, he said he realized, this is who I want to be. I want to be like him. I want to teach in middle school. And he's devoted his life to that. If he can make a difference there as a follower of Christ, so can I. Going against the odds. That teacher had no idea of the impact he made on Michael's life. But beautifully, they ended up working together at the same school for a couple years before the teacher retired, and Michael was able to tell him about the impact he made. Here was a guy who in many ways was just a common, ordinary person using his gifts to the best of his abilities in an against-the-odds setting. But his life deeply etched into Michael's life, just like the names of people we've maybe come to mind have etched into our lives. By God's grace, we can be this for others. By God's grace. And they may not even know it. We may not even know it. Maybe not for years. Maybe not ever. We may never know the impact we've had on people. Our lives, our witness, the way we go about things, what we stand up for, what we say no to, it all makes a difference. Even if we think people aren't paying attention, people are. Some are paying close attention to us, and we don't even know it. The odds are stacked against us in a lot of ways today as followers of Christ. We're in what's called a post-Christian world. A very different world than those of us who are now adults grew up in. It's a very different world, and we know that. There's also a growing number of people who find faith in the church to be not their thing. They're among those, the so-called nuns, who on a form when asked religious affiliation, check none. Nope. There are also a lot of people who have been hurt or disillusioned by the church or by Christians. And so in this day, this is a time for us to be very clear about, in our own lives, about who we follow. And whose voice is in our head, who's having the most influence. Is it the voice of God through His Word? Is it the voice of Christ? Is it the voice of the Holy Spirit? Or is it a voice from the news or talk radio or something online? What's influencing us? And we have to be aware of how that's evident in our attitudes, our priorities, our whole overall direction in life, because people are, in fact, noticing. This is a time when that phrase, by faith, that comes up so many times in Hebrews 11. By faith, this is a time to grow into this. And to ask God to help us to live more by faith and less by sight. To live by faith, not just by what's expedient or practical or familiar. By faith. So are people seeing faith in us? Do they sense the peace of Christ in us? Deep trust of God in us? Will anybody one day name our names as people who made a real difference in their lives, not because of great awards and influence and power and money or anything else like that, but because as ordinary people we follow Jesus by faith? There are a lot of odds stacked against us today in this post-Christian, hyper-politicized, divided online world that we walk into every moment of every day. And where so many people around us, including people we love, people in our families, are saying no thanks to God, Jesus, the church. But thanks be to God, we follow this one. This one who can do more than we can ask or imagine. Who can do abundantly more than we can ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Common, ordinary people that we are. And thanks be to God, we come from the long lineage of people from the Bible and from our own families, circles who have influenced us. Thanks be to God, we have people in our lives who have modeled this reality for us. Faith is being certain of what we hope for and being sure of what we hope for and certain of things we do not see. That faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. And this reality that faith is turning of dreams into deeds. It's betting your life on unseen realities. Oh, may we live this too. By faith. By faith. By faith. Trusting this one who can do infinitely more than all that we can ask or imagine. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you with this request that you would grow us deeper, stronger, more broadly in faith. To live by faith. In your name, by your power, to have an impact in this world. Not for any credit for us, not for anybody to say thank you to us, but all for all the glory to go to you. And even this day, this ordinary day, with these ordinary people like us, would you do new and powerful things? We pray all this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.